Welcome to Zichud Asim Mani. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're Mesechus Erevin Daf Ches. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rabin Bar Rav Ada said in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak that there was an incident concerning a mavui shetzido echad kala yam, one side terminated to the sea, but shetzido echad kala ashpa, and one side terminated at a trash heap. And when the matter was brought before Rabbi, he would not rule. He didn't want to forbid it because the sea and trash heap did indeed serve as mechitzos. However, he didn't want to permit carrying into it either because he was concerned that the trash heap could be removed or that the sea might bring up sediment, in which case the slope will not be sufficiently steep to serve as a mechitza, as a wall. So the Gemara questioned whether there's a concern that the trash heap will be removed, citing a Mishnah that states, if there's a trash heap in Rishus HaRabim, which is 10 Tefachim high, and therefore is a Rishus HaYachid, one may throw into it from a window above. Rashi explains that there's no concern that people remove the trash, resulting in someone throwing this trash down into Rishus HaRabim. The Gemara concludes that the Mishnah is referring to a public trash heap, where there's no concern at all it'll be removed, whereas the incident with Rebbe involved a private trash heap, which one might come to remove. Point number two, there's a machlokas regarding mavui shetzido echad aruch v'tzido echad katzar. A mavui's one side is long and the other side is short. Now, according to one opinion, if the difference between the two sides is less than dalada amos, then one may place the cord diagonally. However, if the difference in length is dalada amos or more, then you can only place the korah opposite the short side at a right angle. Rava said, regardless of the difference in length between the two sides, he can only place the korah opposite the short side. Rava went on to explain the machlokes by saying that he holds the function of the korah as a heker, and when placed diagonally, it doesn't serve as a reminder. And Rashi explains that the longer side doesn't appear as part of the mavui. According to the other opinion, however, the purpose of the korah is to serve as a mechitza, and the korah on a diagonal is a functional mechitza. And point number three, Rami Bar Chama asked Rav Chisda the following question. What is the din if one thrusts two pegs into the two outside walls of a mavui and places a korah on top of the pegs so that the inner edge of the korah was rested against the outside walls? Rav Chisda answered that according to the one who permits carrying under a korah because the outer edge serves as mechitza, it would be forbidden to carry within such a mavui, since in this case, the mechitza is considered removed from the mavui. According to the one who holds that one cannot carry under a korah, because the inner edge functions as a mechitza, it would be permitted to carry within such a mavui, because in this case, the mechitza is at the wall of the mavui. Rava holds that it's forbidden according to everyone, since the requirement of a korah is that it rests on top of the mavui. So once again, the 3 points are number one. Ravin bar Rav Ada said in the name of Yitzchak that there was an incident concerning a mavui shetzido echad kala yam, one side terminated to the sea, but shetzido echad kala ashpa, and one side terminated at a trash heap. And when the matter was brought before Rebbe, he would not rule. He didn't want to forbid it because the sea and trash heap do indeed serve as mechitzos. However, he didn't want to permit carrying into it either because he was concerned that the trash heap could be removed or that the sea might bring up sediment, in which case the slope will not be sufficiently steep to serve as a wall. So the Gemara questioned whether there is a concern that the trash heap will be removed, citing a Mishnah that states, if there was a trash heap in Rishus HaRabim, which is 10 Tefachim high, and therefore it's a Rishus Yachid, one may throw into it from a window above. Now Rashi explains that there's no concern that people remove the trash, resulting in someone throwing the trash down into Rishus HaRabim. So the Gemara concludes that the Mishnah is referring to a public trash heap, where there's no concern that it'll be removed, whereas the incident with Rebbe involved a private trash heap, which one might come to remove. Point number two, there's a machlokas regarding mavui shetzido echad aruch v'tzido echad katzar, a mavui whose one side is long and the other side is short. According to one opinion, if the difference between the two sides is less than dalad amos, then one may place the cord diagonally. However, if the difference in length is dalad amos or more, then he may place the korah only opposite the short side at a right angle. Rava said, regardless of the difference in length between the two sides, he can only place the korah opposite the short side. Rava went on to explain the machlokas by saying that he holds the function of the korah is a heker, and when placed diagonally, it doesn't serve as a reminder. Rashi explains that the longer side doesn't appear as part of the mavui. According to the other opinion, however, the purpose of the korah is to serve as a mechitza, and a korah on a diagonal is a functional mechitza. And pointing with Rami Bar Chama asked Rav Chisda the following question. What's the din if one thrusts two pegs into the two outside walls of a mabui and places a korah on top of the pegs so that the inner edge of the korah was rested against the outside walls? Rav Chisda answered that according to the one who permits carrying under a korah because the outer edge serves as a mechitza, it would be forbidden to carry within such a mavui, since in this case, the mechitza is considered removed from the mavui. According to the one who holds that one cannot carry under a korah, because the inner edge functions as a mechitza, it would be permitted to carry within such a mavui, because in this case, the mechitza is at the wall of the mavui. Rava holds that it is forbidden according to everyone, since the requirement of a korah is that it rests on top of a mavui. All right, so now we go to our siman for Daf Ches, and the siman is challah, a challah, so here goes. The challah baking contest, held in a mavui between a trash heap and the sea, was jammed with families rooting their mothers on, sitting on diagonal korahs, and korahs placed on pegs. Once again, in slow motion. The challah baking contest, challah baking, that must be on Daf Ches. The challah baking contest, held in a mavui between a trash heap and the sea, which reminds us that Rebbe wouldn't rule in a case of a mavui between the sea and a trash heap. And we learned that there is a concern that a trash heap of an individual may be taken away, but there isn't a concern that an ashba belonging to the rabbim will be taken away. So the challah baking contest held in a mavui between a trash heap and the sea was jammed with families rooting their mothers on, sitting on diagonal korahs, which reminds us of the machlokes regarding a mavui, where one side is longer than the other, and that a diagonal korah would be permitted to one who holds the korah serves as a mechitza, but Rabba forbids it because he holds it serves as a hecker, and a diagonal korah therefore doesn't serve as an effective reminder. So the challah baking contest held in a mavui between a trash heap and the sea was jammed with families rooting their mothers on, sitting on diagonal korahs, and korahs placed on pegs. Which reminds of the machlokes regarding a korah resting on pegs thrust into the outer walls of the mavui. Rav Chissa says that to the one who holds the outer edge of the korah as a mechitza, it wouldn't be effective because the outer edge is not part of the mavui. But to the one who holds the inner edge of the korah as a mechitza, it would be because it's resting up against the mavui. And Rabu holds it never works because the requirement of the korah is that it must be on top of the mavui. So once again, the challah baking contest held in a mavui between a trash heap and the sea was jammed with families rooting their mothers on, sitting on diagonal korahs, and korahs placed on pegs. All right, now it's time for four blah bah chazara. Daf Dalet. So the symbol for Daf Dalet is a door, a delet. So here goes. The five tefach door, that must be more on Daf Dalet. The five tefach door used to measure the base, ledge, and horns of the Mizbeach, which reminds Rabbi Shimon Gamliel stated in the Braisa, Kol amu she'amu chuchamim b'kalayim ba'amu b'shisha b'lvad shu'a yu mitzumsumos. All the amu units the chuchamim mentioned in regard to climb are measured using an amu of six tefachim, provided they should not be precise, meaning that they should be loose tefach amos. The Gemara suggested stipulating that kolaim requires six tefachim amos implies that Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that with regards to sukkah and mavui, five tefachim amos are used, which would support Abai's position. The Gemara answers that Rav Shimon Gamliel may have come to exclude the amu units mentioned in context of the yesod mizbech, the sovev, the kranos, and the mizbech zahav, the base, ledge, and horns of the mizbech, as well as the width and depth of the golden mizbech, which were all measured using five tefachim units. So the five tefach dor used to measure the base, ledge, and horns of the Mizbeach was owned by the craftsman with sticky tar all over his hair, which reminds me, V'chi Barashi said in the name of Rav, Shi'urin chetzitzin mechitzin halach l'mush m'sinai, standard measurements, interpositions, and partitions are all laws which were given orally to Moshe Har Sinai. After proving that the laws of chetzitzin, interpositions, are in fact doraisa, and that hair is also chotzes doraisa, the Gemara clarifies that Rav was referring to halacha which Rabbi Yitzchak taught, Dvar Torah, Rubo Umakbid Olav Chotzeis. According to Torah law, meaning Halacha Moshe Sinai, something on one's hair is only a chatzitza if it covers the majority of the hair and if one objects to it being there. Rashi gives the examples of dry blood, ink, clay, or tar. Rashi also explains if one does not object to the object being on his hair, it's considered as part of the body. The Rabbanan decreed that even if only one factor exists, meaning it covers most of one's hair, or if he objects to it being on his hair, the tefillah is invalid. So the five tefach dor used to measure the base, ledge, and horns of the Mizbeach was owned by the craftsman with sticky tar all over his hair, who also used it to teach the laws of good, loved, and dope and akuma. Which reminds the Gemara challenges Rav's assertion that the halach of mechitzos is a halach of Moshe Sinai from one of Rav's own teachings, in which he states that we derive the law that a mechitza is 10 tefachim from the fact that the aron was 9 tefachim and the kaparas was 1 tefach for a total of 10 tefachim. The Gemara answered that Rav was referring to the view of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that the height of the aron was only 7.5 tefachim, and therefore it cannot serve as a source of mechitzas. According to Rabbi Meir, the halacha of Moshe Sinai is coming to teach the halachas of good, extending a wall up or down, lavud, viewing small gaps in a wall is closed, and dopen akuma, the law of a bent wall of a sukkah. Daf Hey. So the symbol for Daf Hey is a haystack. Hey, here goes. The mound of hay. Hey, that must mean we're on Daf Hey. The mound of hay piled up under the core that was too high, which reminds us, on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, a machlokus was brought in a case where one wanted to lower a mavui entrance that was above 20 amos by building up the ground beneath the korah. Rav Yosef said that the mound must be at least one tefach wide into the mavui, and Abai said it must be at least four tefachim wide. One explanation for the basis of the machlokus is as follows. Rav Yosef holds mutli shtamish tachas a korah. It is permissible to carry directly under the korah, and therefore the person will notice the korah and be reminded not to carry in rishus rabim. Abai disagrees and holds asli shtamish tachas a korah. It is forbidden to carry directly under the korah, and therefore the korah must be recognizable when one is not standing directly underneath it. Rashi explains that once the mound must extend past the korah, it's required to have a chash of width, which is the width of four tefachim. A second explanation of the machlokas is that everybody holds mutli shtamish tachas a korah. It is permissible to carry under the korah. However, they dispute the purpose of the korah. Rav Yosef holds that it's there to serve as a heker, and therefore one tefach is sufficient. Abaya holds that it's there to serve as a mechitza, and a mechitza is only halachically considered a partition when it sets off an area that is at least 4x4 tefachim. And the Gemara brings two additional explanations. So the mound of hay piled up under the core that was too high belonged to the four homeowners in the two courtyards, which reminds us it was taught in a braisa. Ein mavui nitib alechi b'kora ad shubatim b'chetzeres b'sukum usocho. Carrying a mavui is not permissible with alechi or kora unless there are courtyards and houses opening into it, meaning at least two courtyards with at least two homes in each courtyard. Rav Nachman says, Nikatilan, we have the following tradition. Ezu mavui shenitib alechi b'kora. Which kind of mavui is permissible to carry in with alechi or a korah? Kosha archu yaser rachbo ubatim v'chetzeros pesukim usocho. Any mavui whose length is greater than its width, and that courtyards and houses open into it. Rashi explains that a square mavui has the status of a chatzer, which has more extensive requirements to permit carrying within it. So the mound of hay piled up under the korah that was too high belonged to the four homeowners in the two courtyards, who didn't realize their four amma wide lechi was also too wide. Which reminds, Rabbi Baruch Hama said in the name of Rav that if a lechi protrudes four amos into the entranceway, nidum mishim mavui, it's judged as a wall of the mavui, v'tzarek lechi acher la'atira, and it therefore requires another lechi to permit carrying into it. Rav Papa says one should place the lechi on the other side of the entranceway, where it will stand alone and will not be mistaken as part of the original wide lechi. Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yeshua, says that one may even place it next to the wide lechi if he makes it taller or shorter or thicker or thinner so that it's distinct. Daf Vav. So the symbol for Daf Vav is a sword. So here goes. The matador with the sword. Sword, that must be more on Daf Vav. The matador with the sword, who escaped the raging bull by entering a gap in the corner of the front wall, which reminds us, there's a Machlokas Amarim regarding gaps in Mavui walls. Rav Chanan bar Rav said in the name of Rav, Mavui shenifritz metzido be'eser amos marosh barba. A Mavui can have a maximum gap up until 10 amos in its side wall, as long as there's four tefachim of wall before the gap, but in the front wall, in a case, for example, where the mavui had a 20 amos opening and was then closed up by a 10 amos wall, then four tefachim in that wall is the maximum breach. The Gemara asks why a breach in the front wall can't be up to 10 amos like a gap in the side wall and be considered an entrance. Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yeshua, answered that when Rav Chanan stated a breach in the front, he was referring to a breach in the corner. Since people don't usually construct entrances in corners, it can't be considered an entrance. Instead, it's viewed as a gap that makes the mavui puzzle. Rav Huna says, Echodzeba, Echodzeba, Barba. In either case, whether the breach is in the sidewall or in the corner, a breach that is four tefachim wide puzzles the mavui. So the matador with the sword who escaped the raging bull by entering a gap in the corner of the front wall and running through a bent mavui, which reminds us there's malchokas regarding a mavui akum, a bent mavui, which is an L-shaped mavui that opens to the street on both ends. Rav says, Tarasu kamafulash, its law is that of an open mavui, meaning each leg is viewed as an open mavui which requires a tzuras a pesach at one end and a lechi or korah at the other. Shmuel says, Tarasu kasasim, its law is that of a closed mavui, and therefore all that is required is a lechi or korah at each end. So the matador with the sword, who escaped the raging bull by entering a gap in the corner of the front wall and running through a bent mavui, was disqualified by the judge, whose opinion was always followed. Which reminds, the Gemara points out a contradiction to Bryce, which initially states, Lom halacha ka beis hillel, the halacha always follows beis hillel, and then states immediately afterwards, V'harotz l'asus ki divrei beis shammai oseh, Kedivrei Beis Hillel Oseh. And one who wishes to act in accordance with Beis Shammai may do so, and one who wants to act in accordance with Beis Hillel may do so. So three answers are given. Number one, Kan Kodem Bas Kol, Kan L'Acher Bas Kol. The second part that states one can choose whom to follow was said before the Bas Kol stated that Beis Hillel's opinion should be followed, and the first statement was made after the Bas Kol. Answer number two, the first and second part were both stated after the Bas Kol. The second part, however, reflects the view of Rabbi Yeshua, who pays no heed to Bas Kols. And answer number three, the second part of the Braisa means to say that anywhere there's a Machlokas, just like the arguments that we find between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, whenever there's no authoritative ruling regarding who should be followed, one should not adopt the leniences of both, nor the stringencies of both, but rather one should adopt the leniences and stringencies of one Rebbe. In the case of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, however, this rule doesn't apply, since there was an authoritative ruling that Beis Hillel should be followed. Dav Zayin. So the Simra Dav Zayin is a gun, a clay Zayin. Here goes. The discarded gun. Gun. That must be on Dav Zayin. The discarded gun found at the crime scene on top of the spine and trefa, which reminds us, on Dav Vav Amabes we learned that there was a Mavui Akum, a bent Mavui in Narda, with three intersecting Mavuis in the shape of the letter Ches. The residents followed the stringencies of both Rav and Shmuel. So the Gemara asks how they could do so, for Bryce had taught, Mechumri Beis Shammai and Mechumri Beis Hillel, one who follows the stringencies of both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, all of a cause of Omer, Aksil B'choshech Holech. Regarding him, it said, the fool goes in darkness. So our Dav Rav Shivzi explains that the Bryce's rule not to follow the stringencies of two authorities only applies Heked Asasri Hadadi, where they contradict each other. As an example, the Gemara brings a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel regarding how much of a spine or skull must be missing for them not to impart Tuma in an Ohel. Beis Shammai's shiur is larger than Beis Hillel's, making him the more stringent opinion. When the same shiurim are applied to determining when an animal is considered a trefa, Beis Hillel's smaller shiur makes him more stringent. So the chumra and kulot regarding tuma results in the opposition in the case of a trefa. This is what the Braisa was referring to. In the case of the Mavui Akum and Narda, the stringencies did not contradict each other. So the discarded gun found at the crime scene on top of the spine and trefa, in a Mavui that opened to two Rishusa Rabbins, which reminds us, Rav Yudah said in the name of Rav, that when the Tanakama and Hananya argued regarding the adjustments of a Mavui Mefulash, it was only when the Mavui opened on both ends into Rishusa Rabbi Midaraisa, such as a Sratya, a public thoroughfare, or a Platya, a public square, that Hananya required a door at one end. But if the Mavui opened into a public thoroughfare at one end, and a field, which is not Midaraisa, on the other end, or it opened into fields on both ends, then even Hananya agrees that Osetzur is a Pesach Mekan, Velechi Mekor Mekan. One constructs a Tzur as a Pesach at one opening, and a Lechi or Korah at the other opening. So the discarded gun found at the crime scene on top of the spine and trefa in a Mavui that opened to two of Rishus of Rabbims had the fingerprints of the bandit who was caught in the back lot. Which reminds us, Rav Yosef said in the name of Yehuda, if a Mavui opened into Rishus of Rabbim on one end, Imayakalo Rochova, but at the other end it terminated into a back lot, which in turn opened to Rishus of Rabbim, Ein Sar Chum. It doesn't require any adjustment at all on the back lot side, but only a Lechi or Korah at the end where it opens directly into Rishus of Rabbim, like any closed Mavui. Abai said to Rav Yosef that this ruling of Yehuda reflects the ruling of Shmuel and not Rav, as it contradicts Rav in two ways. One seeming contradiction is that Rav rules Mavui Shenifritz B'mlo Chatzar, a Mavui that was breached along its entirety, leaving it completely open to a Chatzar, the Nifritz Chatzar Kenegdo, and the far wall of the Chatzar was breached opposite the Mavui, opening the Chatzar into Rishus Rabbim, Chatzar Muteres U'Mavui Aser. Carrying in the Chatzar is permitted, carrying in the Mavui is prohibited unless adjustments are made. The Gemara resolves this contradiction as well as the second one. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos and Shabbos. Number 1. Which stuff do we learn there's a concern that an ashpa belonging to an individual might be removed in validating a Mavui? That's on Dav Ches. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do we learn that the case of a Mavui opening into a backlot does not necessarily contradict Rav's ruling of a Mavui opening into a Chatzar? That's on Dav Zayin. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do we learn that the Yesod, Soviv, and Kronos of Mizbeach are measured with 5 Tfachim Amos? That's on Dav Dalad. Good. Number 4. Which stuff do we learn the halacha always follows Beis Hillel? That's on Dav Vav. Good. Number 5. Which stuff do we have a machlokas regarding whether it's permitted to have a korah rest on pegs that are thrust into the outside walls of a mavui? That's on Dav Ches. Good. Number six. Which daf do we have a machlokes regarding the size of an ama for a mavui sukkah and kalayim? That's on daf Gimel. Good. Number seven. Which daf do we have when the Bremer holds that the laws of good, lavud, and dofen and kumar halachal moshe misiyana? That's on daf Dala. Good. Number eight. Which daf do we have when what the halachas are when part of the core, part of the schach, are above 20 amos? That's on daf Hey, good. Number nine. Which daf do we learn that one cannot follow the chumras of two authorities when the rulings contradict one another? That's on daf Zion. Good. And number ten. Which daf of machlok is whether diagonal cores are permitted in a case where one side of a mavui is longer than the other? That's on daf Ches. Great. Now the bonus questions. Number one. Which daf of machlok is regarding how chabu is created? That's on daf Samachal and Brach is good. Number two. Which daf do we have in Malkutz regarding the definition of Akud and Ragul? That's on daf. Nindalat and Shabbos. Good. And number three, which daf do we have in the Kodesh Baruch Hu gets angry for Arega? That's on daf. Zayin and Brachas. Excellent. That concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zirkel wishing you a great day and great learning.